Christ is the builder. Christ is the cornerstone, the chief stone in this building. But before I start, I would like to read from Romans 12. I'll read a couple of verses with you. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. All members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now that's a thought we have to bring back to our minds, not just as a piece of knowledge to keep it on the hard drive, but to practice it and to know what it means. Let's just read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 12 again. So that would be easy. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. And we read from verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, Lebanese or Egyptians or Indians or whatever it may be. Whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot, look at the foot, naughty foot. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And so on. You can read it when you get home. So this is the subject. The church as the body of Christ. What does it mean? It means he's the head. And we must obey him. But that's not the theme. That's not why he's telling here in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that our obedience to the Lord, of course, it has to be our obedience, but that's not the topic here. The topic here is the unity, that we must be of one mind. Let's examine this and see what would be. Okay. I'm taking this from the verse I read in Romans 12. If you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it, Romans 12, 5. So what does it mean? It would mean that the local church is represented in many ways. If it says family, family, it means we should have some sort of affection to each other. We should really care. We should really concern. It's like your family, husband, wife, and kids. So there is a love, there is a concern with each other. If he says army, he would mean obedience. If he says temple, it would mean holiness, because that's where God dwells. If it says bride, it means she's a virgin, that I will represent the virgin to Christ. She was wholly devoted her heart to the one she's going to marry. And that's the way it should be. If we've been engaged to the Lord Jesus, we should have our affection, our hearts, our motives centered on him. But let's examine that in a little bit of detail. Here is a very complex body with all the parts. How many parts in the human body? I don't know if any of the doctors here can answer us to that, but it's very complicated. Very complicated. I heard staggering figures about the veins and the arteries and the synapse in the brain and all these little things, kilometers and kilometers, runs in the body. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now that complicated body, it's us. The head is Christ, of course. But that body, I'm not sure where I am. Maybe I'm here.
I don't like very much. I like to be up here.
And that's what we read. I don't like to be a foot. Why? Shouldn't be a foot. I should be higher, higher, higher. Everyone is trying to strive to be higher, to show off. Let's see the danger of that. One of the marks of individual maturity that I start to respect my body, not abuse my body. When I know, when I'm mature enough, when I have enough understanding, I will respect my body, I will treat it with appreciation. I'm not taking drugs because that would damage my body. Sensible, isn't it? But that's a mark of maturity. That's why they don't sell drugs to the primary school. And they stand on the fence and just give them free drugs. So they get hooked on it and then they later on they're going to buy it. So respecting the body is a sign of maturity. And I believe this is what he wants from Romans 12, from 1 Corinthians 12. Read it when you go home. This is what he wants me to get. Am I a mature Christian? Do I look at my brothers and sisters? Not just what I get from them. Many times we come because this is the place where you exercise your gift, where you use your gift. But let's just have a second look and see that by yourself you are not the body, but it has to be with others as well. So, gain a better understanding of the local church, the body of Christ, we have to mature. We should learn this about the local church as a body. Just as a body, the one, we read that, many parts, and these parts are members one to the other. No individual, by himself or herself, would do or would stand. And I just gave the illustration of, I got a little bit of dust in my eye. Speck of dust in my eye. I get the dust out by yourself if you don't need any help. How could I? Immediately, you find your fingers will start rubbing the eye gently, and then tears would build up, and until that speck of dust would fall. Now, all I have seen is the respectable organs. What are the respectable? The visible ones. The ones they show in the fingers, the hand. My hand went up and touched the eye, so that's respectable. But how many of us thought of the ligaments, the tendons, the muscles, just to get this hand close to the eye and not to poke the eye? How many of you thought of the nerves sending signals? Be gentle, be gentle. How many parts of the body just to get that speck of dust out? That's a picture the Bible is trying to convey to me about the body of Christ. That means you need everyone. The one you see, the one you don't see. The one who has a big job, the one who has a little job. But he cannot do without these people. No member of Christ's faith is more important. Sometimes, because we are in the flesh, that creeps to me. It's a creeping. It's bad. I'm more important than the rest. I do this, this, that. All these things. So I must be important. And that's a sinful thought. You are not more important than anyone. God will hold us equally.
Are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? You've been brought up by grace. God is still working on you, refining you. So we're all the same, in the same basket, in the same category.
Christians should work hard to display the unity in the body. You have to work. There is what we call the grace of God. The grace of God made us one body. There is nothing we can do about that. If you are a believer, if you are a genuine believer, you accepted Christ, you're part of that body. You don't have to do anything. You have been sealed, you are part of that body. But you have to work hard to display the unity in the body. And this is man's responsibility. I know some churches, they put a big emphasis on the grace and being a body of Christ. Praise God. That's true. Many, they put a big emphasis on the work of a believer. That's true too. But the two, they go together. You are in the body of Christ, so you have to work hard to display unity. Look at just the beginning of these two verses. Take in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you, brethren. And the word beseech in English, I beg you, brethren. So that means it's really important, and it's really, you have to put your shoulder to the wheel. You have really to spend. You have really to be careful. You have to give it your best shot. I'll try to remember all these expressions. Yeah. Give it your best shot. I beseech you, just to keep that unity. What else does it say? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Don't leave any stone unturned. Whatever chance you have, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Spiritual maturity definitely would lead to concern, humility, patience, sensitivity, read that unity. Then you reach that what they call the agape love. If all this would build up, then I start love my brothers and sisters, the agape love, the agape love. It's very important that we reach that spiritual maturity. So instead of looking, what is my gift so I can serve? Yes. We put an emphasis on that sometimes. But am I mature enough to see my brothers and sisters, the all important, and I have to serve them to the best of my ability, and I have to keep the unity of the Spirit? Let's see the next one. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So it's not enough to come and say and shake hands once a week, hi, bye, and you talk about the weather, and you talk about this, and everyone is on cloud nine, and just, you know, it's nice to come and say hello to the people, and what did you do this Sunday, Wednesday, Bible study, Friday, oh, we had a good time. That's the expression we hear, I had a good time. The church is not meant for a good time. Wake up, Christians. Church is a body of Christ. And that body, you have to devote brotherly love. You have to exhibit that love. In what way? The concept of family dimension. That's why he made us into, he looked at us as fathers, as children. So those older Christians, they have to be, you have to be wise. You have to be concerned about the younger ones, the ones who came, the ones who started in the first step. And you have to show emotion and devotion. I'm not talking about your girlfriend and your boyfriend, though it's true in a sense, but I'm talking about all the saints. You're not going to marry all the girls in the church. You're not going to marry all the boys in the church. No. But you have to show the emotion and devotion. That's a sinful word. That's a bad word. That's not there. And this is why I chose this subject. Now we tend to be without emotion because it's a bad word. Once I visited John in the office in his work, and I said, do you know how we communicate with each other? They're putting the desks in the banks, one opposite the other. So the back of this desk is at the back of that desk. So someone is sitting here, someone is sitting there. I said, how do you communicate with this large number of people? Message. He said, then I tried to be just sort of teasing him. I said, what about the one right in front of you, opposite to you? He said, I have to message him. This one, message him. And he will message me back when he has time. And that's how life goes, for 9 hours or 8 hours or whatever. And we get used to that. Message. Even believers, you start messaging. Oh, ridiculous. You're losing. You are losing the concept of the body of Christ. Yes, we print a new sheet. What about printing the sheet and make it 2-3 pages? And spare me standing on my feet because my feet are aching. I don't want to stand and say the news and all that. It's all written. You would say that's a good idea. Okay, I can tell you a better idea. What about I prepared this, the message. I print it, give it to Shay. He's a good man with printing and all that. Shay, print please 100. Pass it to them. Read the message. Bye. That's it. All what I wanted to say is written here. So what's the use of standing? Losing. Losing the personal touch. Losing the communication one with the other. And God said, no. You are a body. You are a body. It's not messages. When you see me standing, and when I expose myself to the group, that I care about you, that I want you to be better and better, cannot be expressed in words enough. But you have to see my face, and you have to see me struggling with words, not the ones I picked up from the dictionary and books and all that, because they look perfect, but I am imperfect. You have to see that imperfection in me, and you sympathize. Though he doesn't know English that well, like any of us. But he's trying to help us. And this is what I want to bring this message through to you. You are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a living body. It's not a dead body.
So emotion and devotion. If one part of the body suffers, I would never be able to experience that. Look at that. The other parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, the others will share in that honor.
Let me ask you. I'm not going to be hypothetical. When was the last time you felt the suffering of another believer in the church? Let's be honest about it. When was the last time you felt that someone was honored, that he passed his exam, he did well in the test, he got a job, and you really felt happy? Not for yourself, but for him, for her. When was the last time? You know, if you don't have that feeling, you are not in touch with the body. You're talking about theories. You're talking about theories.
Showing affection and love to other Christians and treating them as brothers and sisters in Christ is so important, so important. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, Romans 12:12. deep feelings
of joy and sadness. I'm just putting here some facts before you. I've been praying about this topic. It's not the usual topic. I could have taken like a biblical topic, purely explain the Bible and that's it. That's easier for me. But I said, what we need as a church really, to grasp that concept of being a body of Christ,
Christians who find it difficult to express emotion towards others, other brothers and sisters.
I was told it's difficult to expose yourself, to show your emotion, to show your feelings to someone. Why?
I wrote a prescription with the help of the internet.
Prescription for a healthy church. Why we shrink from showing our emotions, our feelings to one another? I'm not talking about cloud nine and being in love. That's different. That could be included, but it's different. I'm talking about in general, to all of you. Everyone to the others.
I think, which I agree,
I feel I would feel rejected. What if I was rejected? So what? So what if you were rejected? If someone is nasty and said, why are you asking about me? I've been sick for so many weeks and now you give me a cold. So he's dampening my spirit. He's pouring cold water on what I've done. I try just to approach and to be nice and to be Christian and to show my appreciation and devotion, but I feel rejected. I'm not going to do it again. Don't! This is the biggest mistake in your life. You will never grow in Christian life.
If you shrink and you feel rejected, that will rob you from what God wants to do as your best. Christians must be vulnerable in order to mature in their relationships.
I guess maybe you will not agree with that. Do you want me to be vulnerable? That means people will talk about me. People will put me down. What if? What if someone will put you down? Big deal. Your creator, your God, was put down. Why don't you get a taste of that? Why don't you get a taste of that? No. No. You make like a wall. Surround yourself. Protect yourself. Nobody knows about your feelings. Nobody knows about your emotions. And that's how you live your life. In the church. If you do that in university, good luck to you. If you do it in a sinful world, good luck to you. But to come to the house of God, where we're supposed to be a body of Christ. And if one member suffered, the others would suffer with him. If one member is honored, the others would be honored. And you build that wall around yourself. And everyone would live in a castle far away from others. It's only me. Me. Oh. And you become part of the royal family. God forbid. We don't have royal families. We joke. That's a joke. What royal family? We all royal priests, isn't it? Or some would be royal and others would be servants. That's what we say. That's the thought of the devil. That's the thought of Satan. We all on equal ground. We all saved by grace.
So Christians must be vulnerable. Have I had a poor family background?
Some people, their excuse because they had a tough time in the family background. Particularly the father. When the father is tough and rough, and he would not tolerate their children, that would reflect even the way he prays. Do you know that?
even the way he prays.
He would not pour his heart out to God. Why? Because his mind would associate the earthly father with the heavenly father.
I was told once that when I went to Billy Graham crusade in Holland, 83 I think it was,
he said, whenever you bring the concept of the father, your heavenly father, your father, he said, some people, they have a shocking image of the earthly father. So by saying that, be careful, Peter, when you're saying that, that man who had a bad time with his father is going to associate the earthly father with the heavenly father. And what a vast difference. You had a rough ride. You had a tough luck. You had a bad coincidence. You had a difficult home. You've been brought up in a different way. But don't let this creep into your spiritual life. Your heavenly father loves you. Your father is so tender-hearted. He's waiting for you. Remember that man who came back from the swines and he spent all the money and he lost everything. And his father, it says, ran to him. Maybe you lost that concept of a father running to meet his child. Go back to the Middle East and look at the grand and the great grandfather and all that with their dignity, and you should come and kiss his hand every morning. Good morning, father. Good morning, and all that sort of thing. And imagine that one with all the dignity he has. He would run to meet that a child of his. Isn't that? Doesn't this tell you something, that he loves you? And he's waiting to hear you. He's waiting to communicate with you. And you know what you're doing? You had a few sentences. You studied them by heart. And bless my mom. And bless my dad. Bless my brother and sister. Bless my wife. Bless my husband. Bless the church. Amen. Finished. You're not communicating. You're just so formal. You're not pouring your heart out. I love prayer meetings. Do you know why I love prayer meetings? Because during the prayer hour, we're communicating with God. If I just know Ash Fauzi on Sunday, Brother Fauzi, how are you? Good to see you, brother. How are things and all that? So formal. But when he sits on the ground, sometimes he kneels down. He can't do it anymore because of his knees now. And you find him talking to his heavenly father and pouring his heart out. No makeup. God would like to see you early in the morning without that makeup. Without that, what you put on as a mask. Sometimes even we come to a prayer meeting and we have a mask. Do you want me to be free? To say what's in my heart? How I feel? I can't. What about these people who are sitting? But you are praying to your father. You're communicating with your father. Yeah, but even still. So we lose that concept of the church as a family. Some Christians have difficulty expressing their emotion to God, bad experience with earthly father. Let me ask you this. Do I spend most of my time thinking about myself? What would I call this? Would you call it selfish attitude? Only myself. Only what I want. I pray only for myself, my needs. But isn't that selfish? When was the last time you picked up a few names from the meeting and say, I'm going to pray for these people? When was the last time you did pick up the newsletter and you said, I'm going to pray for Brother Maggie and his operation? And I'm going to, though I don't know it might be that way, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to pray for this sister and what she has done and the need. Just out of that. That would enlarge your heart. That would make you feel that you are one body. But if you keep into a small circle, a narrow circle, the circle would be narrow until it suffocates you. Did you hear me? Until it suffocates you. You would feel, you will not feel that the body of Christ, the church of God, you would not have that feeling. I better hide. Honor one another above yourselves. Ooh, it's getting harder and harder. Honor one another above yourself. Very hard to do. Do you want me to honor David more than myself? He should be good enough if he's number two or number three or way down here. Roman, to be better than me? How come? Can't be. It's hard. It's getting hard. That's a body. That's what he's saying. Honor one another above yourselves. If we cannot do it, we have to repent and go back to God and say, forgive me. I've been sinning because I cannot honor anyone more than me. I think I'm the top. I'm the preacher. I'm the senior pastor. All down here. That's not the Spirit of God. It's not the Holy Spirit in me now speaking. So what spirit is talking? It's the flesh. It's my desire. It's my ambitions. I'm creating all this and playing a church with it. That I can be top and they will be down here. Careful with that. Careful with that. I think we have to go back to the Lord. When we reach a thing like that, honor one another above yourselves, we have to go to the supreme example, our Lord. What did he do in John 13? Some of you would know it by now. Do you remember? They all sitting. I don't know if it was the custom at that time that they washed the feet of one another. And maybe they looked at one another. Roman, are you going to do it? You're going to wash the feet of all these people. And I'm not talking about your feet. Because nowadays it's different. That you wear shoes. You walk on a sidewalk. You probably wash your feet every morning when you shower. The feet are washed. No, I'm not talking about these feet. We're talking about the feet at that time. When the feet are dirty, sweating, servant. And certainly I'm not going to do it. I'm the older, the eldest. I'm big. I am. Maybe David will do it. Maybe James is going to do it. No one is going to move. Let him talk whatever. Let him say whatever he wants to say. Daniel going to do it. Not Daniel, not Roman, not James, not David, no one. And the Lord, the voice. God manifested in the flesh. Get that. Get it in your head. He took that cloth and he wrapped himself. He put a water in the basin. And they start washing the feet. You know, some people they think that Peter was wrong. We said, no, can't do it. Not me. I don't know. If I was in his shoes, I probably would have said that. Imagine now. I come down and sit at your feet and start washing your feet. Give me. What would you say? No, uncle. No, don't do that, uncle. I wash my own feet. That's the reaction of Peter. Don't do that, Lord. It's too much. I am the least. You are the the Lord.
And that was the lesson he wants to drive to me and to you. Consider others better than you. If you don't, I'm wasting my time really here. We're wasting our time in the church. But that's the way it should be in the body of Christ.
We are called by example.
The greatest among you will be your servant.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain glory, but in humility consider others
better than themselves. We need to learn that. We need to practice that. We need to humble ourselves before God.
Yes, culture will change, but the principle does not change.
I know some churches, they do that literally. In one of the days of the year, they come and they take their shoes off and they wash the feet, or whoever is the priest, or that they wash the feet of the others. But it's not the action or the act itself, but it is the principle behind the act.
What's the principle? That you consider others better than yourself.
Okay. I leave this as a homework because the time is running up quickly. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Those three chapters, they speak of the local church as the body of Christ. I'm going to sum them up and you study them at home.
In what way I'm going to sum them up? They all speak of unity, diversity, and maturity. Remember that. Unity, we are one. Diversity, we are many members. Everyone is different. Everyone is different. God meant it to be that way. He doesn't want us to be one copy, the same copy, the same copy. No. He made us different. And then we reach maturity. Look at the pattern in each of these. You will find it is true for the body of Christ. In unity, I gave you that. If you want to write them down.
Usually the first portion of each chapter speaks of unity. The first few verses speaks of unity. And then the middle part will be diversity. And the last part will be maturity. And just to set your mind at ease, to know what is maturity? Love. When I can love my brothers and sisters. The agape love. As God had loved me. So there is unity. We all one. Read about it. We are different. But then we reach maturity.
They're all in one chapter, in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. The three are in the same chapter. Except in 1 Corinthians 12, that 12 would finish and start chapter 13 with that chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks of love. Love is, love is, love is. That's maturity. They've been matured. Unity is a gift and work of the Spirit. But God has put a body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body. So we should have equal consideration. The body needs different function,
like the speck of dust. Yes, I saw my hand, my fingers. I appreciate my good hand, my good fingers. But I don't see the ligaments. I don't see the tendons. I don't see the nerves which move this hand, which they really move these fingers to press gently and get that speck of dust. So we tend to do the same. We look at the hand. We look at the fingers. Those who are hand, we appreciate. Those who are fingers, we appreciate them. What about that? What about the muscles? What about the tendons? But I don't see them. Yes, you don't see them, but they have work. And the effective work. And God put them for a purpose. And you have to appreciate that. Not because you don't see it, that means it does not exist. It's there. And without them, the hand could not work, the fingers could not work. You see? I remember one of the brother Fahdi, some of you, they heard the name. He's a godly man, he's with the Lord now. And I asked him about the church and how the church is formed and all that. And he said, Peter, you know that some Christians is like the cement in the brick. Because I refer to the building, the church as a building. So we are bricks, but we are living stones. So that's how God built his church, with living stones. Then he drew my attention to that fact. He said, but remember, bricks by themselves will be no good. You bring 1,000 bricks, and you try to put the brick one over the other, and this beside that, and shovel them and do them. And leave, it would all come tumbling down. Wouldn't it? So what did they do? They do the cement, and they put the cement between the bricks. And I said, I don't know what you're saying. He said, some believers, they are not visible bricks, but they are the cement between the bricks. What does it mean? It means they take the pressure from all the top layers, all the bricks above him. They absorb that pressure. They absorb that. And you know, we have these people among us. If this is the church of God, if this local assembly is being manufactured by God, God gave us believers who are like cement, who can absorb that. They don't want to show off. They don't want to be a brick. So you can point and say, that brick is nice color. No one points to the cement. You hardly can see it. It's a very thin layer between the bricks. But it's important. It's there.
Members promote unity as they discover their independence.
We are dependent on others.
Look at the finger, the hand, the eye, and the foot.
And the foot doesn't want to be the foot. We read about that. I don't want to be a foot. I want to be an eye. And he said, suppose you want to be an eye. Everyone wants to be the eye. Eye is very sensitive. I've known that when John did his operation, when Phoebe did the cataract. Scary, really. When you hear an operation in the eye, or operation in the hand, that's fine. In the leg, yeah. But in the eye, oh, it's scary. So everyone wants to be an eye. It's very important. It's a golden member. He said, suppose that everyone would be an eye. So, what would be? It would be a funny body, wouldn't it? There was one of, years and years ago, one of the scary movies. This like a blob with one big eye. It's ridiculous. Scary. It's unreal. Just an eye. Or that Japanese airplane. When I used to fly with Japan Airlines, and I opened the cover of the dish, and just, I don't know, it was a squid or something big, but with one eye, and looking at me, so I could cover it again. Give me meat. Don't want that. So the foot wants to be an eye, the hand wants to be an eye, everyone wants to be an eye, the best in the meeting. Would that be a body? It can't be a body. It's ridiculous.
It's unreal. Diversity of members fulfills the will of God in the body. Let me finish. I think it's the last slide.
You have to be one of those Christians. You pick up the one you like. Be honest. I'm not going to say, put your hand up if you are from number one or number two or number three. That's between you and the Lord.
Some Christians develop a sponge-like personality. They suck. They want all the honor, all the love in the group, all the attention in the group. And they never satisfy. Because a sponge, that's the job of the sponge. It takes in. It takes in. It never gives. It takes it and never gives.
Are you? a spongy Christian, I'll be careful. I'm not going to look at anyone now. I'll look in the
Okay. We cannot give, we must always receive.
And the moment they don't receive, they get upset. I'm going to be. Why didn't you leave?
Finish.
I sucked as much as I could. But no more. And I want attention. So I'm leaving.
Wow.
Another one.
I scratch your back.
Providing you scratch mine. Yeah? You could. I scratch your back, but don't go away. You scratch mine immediately. Is that the way you want to live in the church? You scratch her back and she scratches your back. Is that, that's what the outside, the world is doing. Scratch your back and scratch mine. That's not the church. That's not the church of God.
Look at this man who wrote this.
Because it's long, and I'm sure you've heard of it and you know it, of friends that see him,
that he wanted to be an instrument used by God.
I'll just pause and let you read it. As absorb the meaning in it.
Then I'll make that comment. You can never lose by sincerely honoring others. God will not forget.
Neither those you will honor. It might go unnoticed. What you did, what you are upholding, because that's a principle from God, it will not pay immediately. But rest assured, if you are in the center of His will, if you're doing God's will, and this is His will, that you look at the assembly as the body of Christ. So then be a sponge like Christian. That you want. What is the benefit? How can I exhibit my talents, my good things? That's using. You're using the church. You're using the church. Don't ask. I think one of the presidents, he said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. I'll just borrow these words and say, don't ask what the church can do for you. We always ask, what can the church do for me? What can they? You ask God what you can do for the local church, which God has put you in here for a purpose in His heart. Try to fulfill that purpose and live like what God wants you to live. Let's bow our heads. I don't know where, which part God has touched your heart with. He knows, you know. It is a time to communicate with Him. It is a time to pray. It is a time to give an answer to what you hear. We are not talking about philosophical theories, but this is the Word of God. That's how God wants us to be. If you feel there is a lack of something, confess it. Leave it. Ask God to help you to be that solid Christian. Men and women of God who can carry the burden, who can please God, who can benefit others. By this, you would know that you are my disciple. If you have love one for others. Lord, help us. And I commend whatever it was said in weakness. Weak language, weak thoughts. To your spirit, Lord, that you take these words, impact them upon the hearts of young people, men and women. May they change our lifestyle. That we don't live for ourselves anymore, but we live for you. And you are our best example. We ask this in your precious and worthy name. Amen.